a little bit about the history of the church to start with.
Yeah. I was the first pastor of the church at Spruce Creek, because before that it was Central Baptist Church. Well, hello everyone. I'm trying to identify how many of you I know, and I know Dave.
And a lot of new faces.
Yeah, that's great. So I would go around and ask you to introduce yourselves to me, but...
You can't remember that many names anymore.
Yeah, I mean, have you ever had somebody introduce themselves to you, and as soon as they say their name to you, they might as well have dropped it on the floor.
Cause oh,
you
exactly.
Don't, you don't
the
remember.
Time.
I do, Al.
What? Well, I'm glad to be here today. I just retired, which makes it so that I can be here today. Retired from senior pastoral ministry. After 45 some odd years, I figured it was just time. The last couple of years have been pretty interesting and difficult. But glad to be here today. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time that we can be together, and we ask that you would be glorified in this. Lord, I thank you for this church family. I thank you for your faithfulness to this church family over the years. Thank you for your provision. Thank you, Father, for faces of old friends. And thank you, Father, for faces of people who are new and I've never met before. Lord, it's just testimony to your faithfulness and your goodness. Thank you, Father. I pray that you would be honored in this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I came by the church building here maybe a year ago and was looking around. And I was looking for a plaque kind of thing that we put up the day that we dedicated this room or this building. And that, yeah, I couldn't find anywhere. That's okay. I'm not complaining. I don't think that has to be up forever. But, it made me wonder. And I was talking to Pastor Andy one day, not that long ago, and I said to Pastor Andy, has anybody ever told you the story of how this church came to be here? How we moved from being Central Baptist in downtown Portsmouth? Do you all know that that is part of the history of this church? That this church used to be Central Baptist in downtown Portsmouth, how we came to be the church at Spruce Creek in Kittery, Maine. And Pastor Andy said that no one had ever told him the story. That he had heard bits and pieces, but he never heard the whole complete story. And I thought that that's kind of sad, actually, because the story of how God moved the church here is a wonderful story of God's provision, of God's faithfulness. It's a story of answered prayer. And I think that it would be an encouragement to your pastor and an encouragement to any one of you to know what God did back in those days. I don't throw the term miracle around very often. I'm not that kind of thinker. But this comes as close as it gets. In the course of my ministry, there have been a few things that have happened where I can look back and say, God had his hand in this. Every once in a while, you know, you say, God answered prayer. But then somebody who is somewhat cynical will say, well, it just happened by coincidence. You know, it could have been explained by something else. But this is one of those that I can't explain away that way. God had his hand in it. So what I want to do is take this time and share with you the story of what happened back in year 2000, right around there. I hope that it's encouragement to you. For some of you, it will be old history. For others of you, it will be something new. But I thought it would be a good idea for you to hear it from somebody who was actually there. I was the pastor of the church at the time, and I'm going to tell it to you, the story, from my perspective, because, excuse me, I probably will be emotional. I've told this story before, but being back here for me adds a different element to it. I think it's important for a church to know its own history. And I'm supposed to record this?
It's on.
Oh, it's on. Okay. Anyway, So bear with me, and we'll try to get through this. I'm going to give it to you from my perspective, and I want to be clear that I am not. I wrote this down at the time, so I'm not making anything up. I'm not embellishing, adding to it, and I'm not telling you from the standpoint of any pride whatsoever. I'm thankful that God used me as He did, as He used all of us in this process. But it's really all about the glory of God. To understand the story of how God answered prayer, you really have to understand where we were back in the 1990s. We were Central Baptist Church in downtown Portsmouth, and at that time we owned three buildings in downtown Portsmouth. I don't know if you're familiar with which ones they were. The main building was on the corner of Middle and State Street. It's still standing. It used to be a fire insurance company back before the church bought it, and it kind of looks like an old bank building, but it's a brick building on the corner of Middle and State. The church owned a wooden structure behind that building. It's still there. It's on Court Street. That was the original building when it was Court Street Christian Church. It became Central Baptist Church, but that old wooden structure was there, and we owned a parsonage on the corner of State Street and Austin Street. The house that we lived in, that parsonage, looks a whole lot better now. It's a multi-million dollar home now, but it didn't look like that when the church owned it and when we lived there, especially when we lived there. Anyway, the church owned those properties, and they were centrally located, but they presented some problems for the church. One of the problems that we had continually is the problem that it had no parking. We owned an alleyway next to the two church buildings, which supplied parking for a couple of cars. We were allowed to use the bank parking lot next door, which had about room for 10 cars or something like that. And as long as the gas station across the street was closed, we could use that for parking. But we didn't have any parking. It was street parking. Another problem that those structures had was that they weren't handicapped accessible. And there was no reasonable way to get them to become handicapped accessible. We couldn't build a ramp on them. It would be very difficult at best to put an elevator of any sort. They weren't handicapped accessible. And another problem they had is they weren't family friendly at all. I remember our kids grew up in this church. You walk out the front door and you literally were on the street corner, on a busy corner. And that presented problems. I remember at the time that all this happened, or right around that time, I was taking a graduate course at Liberty University. It was a course that I should have taken a long time ago. I was finishing up a graduate program. It was a program that I should have done a long time ago, but it was a course in evangelism and church growth. And in the course, I remember the professor saying, he said, if you have a church that has no parking, you might as well hang a sign on the door that says we will not grow. He said, God can do anything, but if you have no parking, a sign that says we will not grow. And I remember hearing that in that course, and it frustrated me because that was precisely our problem. At another point in this same course, he said, if you don't have handicapped accessibility to your building, that means that by the very nature of your building, you're going to be keeping some people out. There will be some people that you will never minister to. He said, why would any church want that? And I agree. There were some other things that he said that frustrated me. He said, a third thing is that people tend to not go to old buildings anymore. If somebody moves into your town, they tend to stay away from old, musty church buildings. That's just the way our culture is. Well, those three things really bothered me, and we're praying about those things. The following winter months, the trustees of this church had been tasked with the job of making a list of all the repairs that needed to be done in the church buildings. And I remember Joel McDougall came to this trustees meeting with his list completed or completing list of things, And he started listing all of the repairs and all of the things that needed to be done in those old buildings. And he came up with a list of about $200,000. And these weren't repairs that were going to get us handicapped accessible, just repairs for the buildings. And I remember thinking at that meeting, we're going to put $200,000 into these buildings, and when it's all said and done, we're still going to have the same problems. We're still not going to have parking. We're still not going to be handicapped accessible. And when kids walk out the door of the church, they're still going, church building, they are still going to be on the street corner. And at that meeting, with really, and I don't say this lightly, with fear, I said to the trustees, maybe we should consider selling these buildings and relocating. It was a big thing because back in the 70s, apparently, the church had looked into the possibility of moving, actually worked on getting a piece of property where BJ's is standing now. And they said it just didn't work out. And there was a church split because of that kind of thing. And so I kind of was fearful. But when I said it to the trustees, it was like I opened a window. It was like they were all thinking it, they just didn't dare to say it. And they all agreed that we should maybe consider relocating. So the next step was to go to the church board, the elders, the deacons back then, and talk to them about it. And we prayed about it, and that board agreed as well that we would consider, look into the possibility of relocating, and that we would bring it to the church family at the annual meeting that year. I'd like to read to you part of my annual report. It's the 1999 annual report. It is in your church record still. Let me read part of it to you. The report I'm about to give to you has been on my heart for quite some time. It may bother some of you to read it. Others will respond with a sigh of relief or a hearty amen. I think it's time for our church family to address a very important issue. Let me take you through a series of facts and observations that have led me to give this report to you. And in my report, I listed some of the same things that I just told you. For these reasons and others I have not mentioned, I am asking that we pray together and seek the Lord's direction. It is my belief that we should look into the possibility of selling our current buildings and purchase property that will better suit our needs. I have raised this issue with the church board. At our annual meeting, we will be asking for the church's permission to begin to investigate the possibilities. There is no preset agenda. There is no hidden plan. I believe, as does the board, that this is something that needs to be considered. Are you frustrated with this report? I understand. I've had my moments of fear even in presenting the realities to you. But here's the good news. One, our God can do anything. With prayer, he can provide the means and the property we need, or he can help us overcome the odds right here where we are. Two, our church is strong enough to do this. We aren't retreating in desperation. We are moving ahead with strength. Three, I want to remind you that God has not called us to maintain our current church buildings. He's called us to minister, and I say a little bit more there. Please pray with me about this. Pray that the Lord will give us his direction and leadership. Pray that the Lord would give us unity of heart and solidarity of spirit. I love you. I'm honored to be your pastor. Sincerely, Pastor Steve. That was the printed report that I gave to the church before our annual meeting. It was actually given to the church family about a month before the meeting actually happened. And I remember after I gave the printed report, the following Sunday, could I have a glass of water?
That's water in the fridge.
After I gave him the printed report, I remember talking with one of our the men in our church who had been around for quite some time. His name was Cecil Pettigrew. Some of you will remember him. I went to Cecil one day. It was after church, and I said, "What did you think of my report?" And I'll never forget. He looked at me. He said, "It's an interesting idea, but you should never have said it." He said, "All you're doing is raising people's hopes. It is not possible." and he chided me for even putting it in the report. In retrospect, I can say that he was almost probably right in some ways. I had no idea what we were asking for. But anyway, so the church report came out. The church report came out, and we had our annual meeting. And at the annual meeting, we discussed that year the possibilities of relocating. And people were very concerned about it. Obviously, if you have enough money, you can do anything. But we didn't want to go into a lot of debt. We didn't. Selling the buildings seemed like it was going to be nearly impossible. We didn't have any idea what property we would end up buying or getting or how it was going to work. It was such a big thing that at that annual meeting, we agreed to pray for 2 weeks, and then we would come back together for a special meeting, and at that meeting we would decide whether or not to form a feasibility study. These are really baby steps, that we would decide to form a feasibility study, not talking about decide to move or not, just a feasibility study. So we did, we prayed for 2 weeks, we came back and had our special meeting, and the church voted, I think it was 100%, that we would form a feasibility study committee, and the committee was appointed. And that night, we closed in prayer, and I prayed, just as if we had been praying right along, God, that you'd be glorified. We pray that you would show us your will in no uncertain terms. I pray that you show us your will in such a way that we can't miss it. We pray that you would be honored, and we pray that whatever happens, we'd be able to do it without debt. As I was closing in prayer, the phone rang at the back of our sanctuary. It might have been Dave Arnold that answered the phone. And I finished closing in prayer, and the meeting ended, and Dave handed me the phone, and it was the people who own this property. And they said, we wanted to know if you might be interested in buying our land. It was out of the clear blue sky. No one, I didn't talk to them. I don't know anything of what was going on, but it was amazing at that moment to get that call. And so I said, well, we have a feasibility study committee. And so a couple of days later, we came out to this property to look at it. And I remember looking at it and saying, this is everything that we've been thinking about. A beautiful piece of land, exactly where we wanted it. It was exactly where we were looking for it. Although we were Portsmouth Church, most of the people in the church lived in Kittery, lived on this side of the bridge, so we wanted property on this side of the bridge. It would be handicapped accessible, it would have plenty of parking, it would be family friendly, everything that we were looking for. At that time, by the way, this church building was a little more than a shell. The building was standing, but the entire upstairs was unfinished. It was just rafters, wood up there, nothing going on up there. Down here was finished, but it would need a lot of work still. The parking lot was dirt, nothing out front, but it was precisely what we were looking for. And I remember standing upstairs where your water fountain is now. There was nothing there. There wasn't even a wall there. But in that area, I remember hearing the people from Trinity say, we want you to know that 2 months ago, we wouldn't have even considered this. But we believe that God wants us to sell and that he wants us to sell to you. Wow. I remember looking at one of the women on that committee. And both of us were thinking, 2 months ago we weren't thinking about this either. But how much clearer could God be in what he wanted?
Amen.
So that started now a process. The process had to start with us selling our buildings in downtown Portsmouth, which wasn't quite as simple as it might sound. We needed to find the right buyer. We didn't want to sell it to a nightclub or something. And besides that, who was going to buy a building that had asbestos issues, going in, they knew that it was going to have $200,000 worth of repairs that had to be done,
who's going to buy a building with no parking and no handicapped accessibility and no possibility of it? How are we going to even sell these buildings? And what if we sell one building and don't sell the other two? What order are we going to sell them in? So we kind of worked all that out, and it didn't look real promising, and the city of Portsmouth created all kinds of trouble in selling and buying buildings. But be that as it may, we figured what had to be done. We decided the order of the buildings that needed to be sold in, and we decided how much money we needed to get from each building to complete this whole transaction. And it needed to be done pretty quickly, because the church that was selling it, Alyssa was part of that fellowship, they couldn't just leave it up, hang it out there for forever. It had to be done relatively quickly. So we hired a real estate agent. Her name was Jane James. We met with Jane, the church board, and told her what we were considering doing. And we prayed for her at that meeting. And she came up to me after the meeting. She said, "That was an interesting meeting." She said, "No one's ever prayed for me like that before." But Jane took the job, and the buildings sold quickly. Mm. The first two buildings sold in the order that we wanted them, and they sold at the price that we figured that we needed. And we were able to purchase this property as it is, and we moved into these buildings. We had our first meeting here in the fall of that year. I think it was about 6 months after we started meeting in this building. We had our initial services down here in this room because the upstairs was incomplete. So the next step that had to be done is we had to sell the downtown parsonage in Portsmouth. We figured we needed to sell that building for around $400,000. Which was, you know, today's prices, that's but in those days, that was an amazing amount. And I remember Jane told us, you're probably not going to get $400,000 for it, maybe $365,000, $385,000, but we'll put it on the market, we'll ask for $400,000. $400,000 would allow us to buy a new parsonage here in Kittery for $200,000, that was our idea, and then we would buy, that would leave us $200,000 to complete everything you see here. So we didn't get a bid for $400,000, we got one for $405,000. And so that started now the process. It just so happens at that time Dave Newsom, who was a real estate agent here in Kittery, he may still be here, he was building a spec house. If you don't know what that is, a speculation house, it was a house that he was building and didn't know he was going to sell it to yet. He was building on speculation. He was building a spec house up on Manson Road, right where we wanted it, and it was exactly the price that we were looking for. And so we entered into an agreement with Dave Newsom to buy the property that you're living in now. At that time, it was just a foundation, and I think some of the walls were up, but it was, you know, we were looking forward to it being finished, and that was going to be the new parsonage, exactly where we wanted it. Exactly at the price that we were looking for. And then John McDougall was the general contractor. He started work down here. And upstairs, and it was going forward. But then the guy that offered us the 405 backed out. It was frustrating. I don't know what happened, but he backed out. And that left us with a major problem. He left us with a cash flow problem. How are we going to pay for, we've entered into an agreement from the parsonage, we got to pay for what's going to be done here, and things fell through. And so we had a special meeting here, in this very room, and trying to decide what we might do about that. And we were thinking about, you know, some sort of loan from the bank to get us across, or borrow money from the church family. And I remember that meeting, one woman said, "I think since the deal fell through that we ought to ask for more." Another woman said, "I think that we ought to ask for a cash deal." Carol Claseris was one of them. and Ruth Baisley was the other one. Anyway, I remember at that meeting thinking, these women are crazy. I really did. Yeah, who in the world is going to give us Everybody knows that we took a bid for $405 and we lost it. Who in their right minds is now going to offer us more than that? And who's going to offer a cash deal? But we, God had been doing for us some pretty amazing things anyway. So I remember closing in prayer that night. He said, Lord, you've taken us this far. We know you got something for us. Thank you that the deal fell through. Because we know that if you close the door, you've either got something better for us or you're protecting us from something worse. So we pray that we'd get more, if it's your will. And we pray for a cash deal. A couple of days later, I get a call from Jane James. She says, Steve, I've pulled over to the side of the road because I'm going to scream. She said, we've been given an offer, $445 cash. It was just so much fun to see God rolling this out for us. It was just remarkable. And so we paid cash for that building. This building was finished, or ended up being finished, obviously. And we did it all with no debt. And we were moved into this building a couple of months before the feasibility study was due. Let me read to you the annual report, my annual report from the next year, from the year after the first one I read you. Again, it's in your church record still. But let me read it to you. What a difference a year has made. For the sake of those who will be reading this report in future generations, should the Lord tarry, and for those who don't know what God has done, let me rehearse it for you. In March of last year, the church trustees and the official board were presented with the idea that we should consider relocating. With their permission, I put the suggestion in the annual report. At a special business meeting, which was called 2 weeks after the annual meeting, the church body voted to look into the possibilities of relocation. To this end, a committee was appointed to do a feasibility study due at the end of the year. Some of us had been praying about this before it was ever presented to the church. We prayed that the Lord would show us in clear, unambiguous terms what His will for us would be. As the special meeting closed in prayer, the office phone rang. On the other end of the phone was a representative from the Trinity Evangelical Church asking if we might be interested in purchasing their building at 31 Wilson Road. For us, that call came like a shot out of the blue. We had no idea that it was coming until it did. The following Sunday, the committee went to the building on Wilson Road and met with some folks from Trinity. They told us that they too had been praying and believed that it was God's will for them to sell the building. I will never forget hearing one of them say, 2 months ago we would not have been considering this. It was electric. I thought to myself, 2 months ago we wouldn't have been considering this. The building was perfect for us. Relatively new, handicapped accessible, lots of parking, good location, room to grow, within our price range. It should have been out of our price range, but the Lord worked that out too. By the way, we bought this building, this property, for about half the price of what it was worth. It appeared that the biggest piece of the puzzle had fallen into place. Now we had to continue to pray and ask the Lord for the rest, the sale of our properties in Portsmouth. We prayed that the sale of both buildings in Portsmouth would be quick, done. We prayed that the city of Portsmouth would give us the necessary variances for the purchases, done. We prayed that the sales would be clean, done. We prayed that the old building would be sold for a price that would enable us to purchase a new one and renovate without incurring debt, done. We needed a new parsonage, one in Kittery, preferably close to the church, one within our price range, done. And it was a new one to boot. I would go on and say, when this process started, one person told me that this project was impossible. He was absolutely right. I had no idea of how much our buildings would be worth or how much how expensive property was. However, in 9 months, we went from talking about a dream to being in a new building. For the record, we were in our new building before the deadline for the feasibility study was due. Lord willing, in a few months, the building project will be complete. It has been him. We've had many people work hard at this job. Many hours of work have been poured into this by self-giving brothers and sisters. However, everyone who has worked on this project agrees with this. It has been him. From beginning to present, him. But the miracle of the past year brings the question, why? We didn't deserve this. We didn't win it or earn it. We aren't better than others. Why has the Lord done this for us? He did it because he has a job for us to do. Right. To glorify him, to share the gospel with the world, to build disciples. We must humbly and enthusiastically put our hands to the work, realizing that the same Lord who brought all this about in the past year is the one who goes with us and promises to help us. The coming year is his too. I can't wait. In his love, Pastor Steve. Let me share with you just a couple more things. On the day of the dedication, I remember standing upstairs with John McDougall. And we stood there together and we looked at this. And John said, "You know, Steve, you know this was impossible." I said, "I know." Sometime after that, I was talking with Jane James, the real estate agent. And she said, "Steve, you must be really proud." I said, "No, I'm proud of our God." I said, we just really believe that God did something here. And she said, "You're absolutely right." She said, "I've never seen anything like it before." She said, "We walked to a door and it opened. We walked to a door and it opened. We walked to a door and it opened. We walked to a door and it opened." She said, "I've never seen a multi-building deal happen as quickly and as fast and as smoothly as this one did."
Amen.
She said, "God definitely had part of this."
Amen.
And for me, that was the cherry on top.
Yeah. All right.
That even Jane James acknowledged that God had his hand in this.
Amen.
So I want to tell you that story. I wanted to tell you that story. I probably made it longer than you wanted.
No.
But I wanted to encourage you with it. God had his hand on this church and continues to. And he's put you here for a reason. And the reason has never been to give you a nice building to be comfortable in. The reason is because he's got a job for you to do.
That's right.
And that is to reach this community with the gospel of Christ.
That's right.
And to build disciples. That's what the building is supposed to be used for. I want to tell you that because I think it's encouraging to know that this building stands as a testimony to how God answers prayer.
Mm.
And it stands as a testimony to the fact that our God can do and accomplish anything if it's his will.
That's right.
So I want to encourage you to hold fast to that. So thanks for letting me share that with you. Any questions?
So the decision to change the name from Central Baptist in Portsmouth makes sense, to leave that behind. But why Church of Spruce Creek and why embrace a different name, especially one that doesn't have Baptist in the title?
Right there. That's the next thing I was going to say.
Jack carries on with the ethic.
I'm not crying that much. I have a watery eye.
I do too.
The rug.
Yeah, I need
it
to clean
the rug.
Does anybody have
it? Okay, let me do this. Get out of the way. There. Okay.
I have a dry eye, too.
Oh, I don't need the whole box, I hope.
Oh, but I can take one. Steve, hey, share.
Share. Okay, so the question, why the name? You remember this the course I took that I told you that I took just before this whole thing started?
Mm-hmm.
I remember at that course, the professor said, if you ever have to rename a church, and I remember taking this course thinking, well, here's a piece of information I'm never going to have to use. But I wrote it down, you know, taking notes in the course. He said, if you ever have to rename a church, a few considerations. First, you should choose the name of a church that gives a positive mental image. Secondly, if you choose the name of a church, it should be connected in some way to the community you're located in. And the third thing is you should consider dropping a denominational title. And he said the reason for that is all the denominational title does is it tells you, in our case, it invites other Baptists to come in, but it automatically keeps other people away. And I thought through the possibilities of that, and it's absolutely true. If I visit a town, I'm not going to go to the Methodist church. And it's not because I don't like the Methodists. I have more in common with some Methodists than I have in common with some Baptists. But I don't even consider going to that church because it's the Methodist church. So that made sense to me. You want to be inviting to the community, don't choose a name that might keep some people away. So then we came to the naming this church. And some people said, well, let's just retain our name, Central Baptist Church. And we thought, well, that doesn't make a lot of sense to have Central Baptist Church in rural Kittery. I remember somebody said, well, let's go with Wilson Road Baptist Church. That didn't sound very inspiring to me or to anyone else. But, yes. Well, Wilson Road Baptist. And I was thinking about it, obviously, and I said, you know, in the scriptures, the format that's given to us in the scriptures for churches is the church at Philippi, the church at Ephesus, the church at Colossae. It's the church at or in someplace. And then I thought of, you know, we thought about Spruce Creek, which is nearby. Spruce Creek was where the original settlers for earliest settlers of Kittery set up shop. And so I said, how about the church at Spruce Creek? That's kind of a Little House on the Prairie vibe. And some people thought it was just kind of weird. But I remember we were talking to the church family about it, and I said, if you were somebody visiting a new community or just came to live in a new community, would you rather try Central Baptist Church, Wilson Road Baptist Church, or the church at Spruce Creek? And for some people, it's like, oh yeah, that's a better choice. And so that's why we said, originally the name of the church officially, I mean, on our sign was the Church at Spruce Creek, subtitle, a Baptist Fellowship. But in the end, I think all of us would agree that if we have, I'm ordained Baptist, but that's way down my list. You know, we're Christians first.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
We're here to serve the Lord. And it's not about being a Baptist. I don't even know if I consider myself. We weren't really a Baptist church anyway. Because we didn't have a Baptist church, a form of church government. The church, even at that time, even though we had deacons, we still operated on the basis of a plurality of elders. So it just made sense.
Thank you. It wouldn't even be Wilson Baptist anymore. It would be Pettigrew Baptist.
Yeah. Yeah.
They changed the name of the street.
We're part of...
On Pettigrew Lane. Pettigrew. Well, yeah.
Our address has changed.
Although Cecil Pettigrew would have liked...
Well, yeah. They would say, who's your church named after?
Yeah.
That was going to be my question. Was the name of the road just picked because of him?
No.
It sounds like that was just a coincidence.
It was.
God has a sense of humor.
Yeah. Yeah, it happened to be on the road of the name of the man who said it was impossible. Yeah. He was a good guy. But you know, he had gone through that the battle of thinking about relocating before, and he said it's just not possible. Yep. Okay. Any other questions?
And it didn't split our church. It did not split our church.
It didn't split our church. In fact, we were stronger coming through it. Yep. So, yes. We were 10 years in Portsmouth, 10 years here. We moved in here in 2000. We left here in 2012. So just right about down the middle of our ministry. Yeah.
Steve, Alyssa's not going to say it, but I'm going to say it. She said they kept, because she was part of the original church that was here. They kept their church. They just got it remodeled.
Yeah.
Pretty handy.
Well, it worked out well for both churches. I mean, it was a difficult thing for that church family in the circumstances that caused it to fail or not go through. But it worked out well for both families. And it was a good fit.
Were most of the people that attended the church, Central Baptist, were they Portsmouth people?
They were mostly Kittery people, Kittery Elliott. There were relatively few people, even though it was a downtown Portsmouth church.
Yeah.
I would guess that maybe, Dave, 70% of the people came from Maine.
Probably
70% from
Maine.
Yeah, because that's where the
Matulas
and the...
Yeah.
Yeah, we were there.
Yeah. So, you know, in the initial thoughts of, you know, we did give some thoughts to where we wanted to go, and it didn't make sense for us to go south of Portsmouth or out, you know, west of Portsmouth. We were thinking about this area.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, another thing that came into play on the, you know, in the change of the name of the church, there's another Baptist church right around the corner. Why do you want to have two Baptist churches in rural Kittery, Maine next to each other? That didn't make a lot of sense either. Yeah. Although in downtown Portsmouth, that's exactly what we had. We had Central Baptist Church across the street from Middle Street Baptist Church, which was really odd.
Mm.
Speaks well to the unity of the faith, doesn't it?
The one big.
Oh, I heard a story. What?
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's just I heard this story a couple weeks ago about a man who was on a desert island, and he was there for a while by himself, and finally a ship came to rescue him and noticed that there were three buildings on the property on the island. He said, "What are the buildings?" And he said, "Well, that's my house, and that one is my church. That's where I worship." They said, "Well, what's that third building?" He said, "Oh, that's the church I used to go to." Anyway.
One big difference, though, is that we used to, being in downtown Portsmouth, there were a lot of people who would just walk into the church, and, you know, you don't really have that here, but...
We didn't really have a lot of walk-in
people
to worship. Mm-hmm. We had people who wanted to get something. You know, people asking for money. But we didn't, there wasn't a lot of foot traffic in there.
We had tried a few churches. We had gone...
Hi, Carol.
Trevin.
We were just talking about you.
We actually went to Middle Street first, and I sat there. Not one person ever came up to us. No one spoke to us when we were there. No one spoke to us when we left. And then when we went to Central Baptist, Rowena McDougal was like, right at the door. Hi, how are you? Who are you?
Yeah, that's only because Dave wasn't with you.
Yeah, no, I wasn't.
He actually wasn't in the beginning.
You're right. If Dave was with you, nobody would go near you.
I'd go near them.
It was kind of fun to come in here today and see that Harry McDougal's painting is still up.
Yep.
That painting that probably mystifies some of you, it's in the foyer up there. Harry McDougal painted that to go behind the baptistry at the old building.
He was 16 or something, wasn't he young?
I don't know.
He was young when he painted it.
The painting wasn't there
John McDougal's father.
Wasn't behind the baptistry when we pastored there.
it had been rolled up and put somewhere, but that's where that came from.
One thing about the the Baptist Street is that water was cold.
I baptized you there?
Yes, yes.
I remember in that Baptist
Street.
Yeah,
me.
Which one was I
all of
that time? And I thought it was there.
Me and Vic and Bethany and Ariel.
Nice. I think I remember baptizing Dick. People were a bit larger. I remember baptizing somebody, and I put him down into the water, and the water just sloshed out. This baptistry is really easy.
That's when you tap them and say, get up.
Yeah. Pastors, you don't have to get wet in this one.
Yeah.
Any other questions? What time do we got here? Oh, it's time to be done anyway. Well, nice meeting you all, and we'll see you upstairs in a little while. Do you get coffee now? Do you?
You can do whatever you want, Steve. We mill
do
about
whatever
smartly.
You want. What?
Yeah, we mill about smartly.
Yeah.
Okay. Then let's try doing that.
The first and tenth.
Let's pray together. Father, again, we thank you for your grace, for your mercy. Lord, you did something so wonderful back then. But we know, Father, that that's just a marker in history. That's a time that you did something because you have something bigger to do.
Yes.
Lord, I pray for this church family that you give them the grace to continue to trust you, to continue to look to you, to continue to look for your provision. And I pray, Father, that you would help this church family to be about the task of winning the lost for Christ, making disciples. I pray for Pastor Andy. I ask, Lord, that you'd help him to be well, that you would help him to get through this thing that he's going through. And I pray, Father, that you would bless his leadership and his ministry here. I pray, Father, that you would be glorified in it all. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Steve, is there a stop button on that thing?